podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. Here we'll discuss the best armband options for game week 32. I've started a tiny bit earlier just in case there was any technical issues because I have a new computer. So that means I'm back hosting the Scoutcast tonight, hopefully all being well. And Tom and myself have done a quick test. So if anything goes awry this time around, it'll be my fault of not pressing a button because I have the technology in place. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Joe. Looking forward to a regular game week with no blanks or doubles, which feels like a bit of a rarity this season, doesn't it? So yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to that as well because... beginning of April, with everything in my life, it's just completely changed, but mainly around the computer. But there's all sorts of things around really boring stuff as a freelance journalist. And April is a time of big change. So everything's changed at once, including in fantasy football with new fixtures coming out. So we'll talk about those in great detail, the double game weeks that are coming. We'll talk about those more on the Scoutcast. But it's the captaincy we're talking about now. We're talking about armband. So before we move on to look at the key candidates and key contenders there, I understand you've got a few words to say about Fantine.
Yeah, so the Fantine Monster is back again this week. It is the weekly tournament where you pick 11 players. It's a safety net in place. But it's quite an interesting week and maybe an opportunity to focus on some other players and teams, given that City and Liverpool are up against each other. So if you're into fan team, have a look at the weekly monster.
Okie doke. So let's have a look at these fixtures. So, yeah, as you said, single game week for a rare occurrence. So that's probably not going to happen. Well, I think it might happen once or twice, maybe again. Mm. So let's have a look at these fixtures. There's two kind of key takeaways here. One is Man City play Liverpool. So that sort of counts them out possibly for the armband, but we'll talk about that a bit more later. And also Spurs form, we just cannot ignore it. And they are away to your team, Aston Villa. So my captaincy at the moment is currently on Kane, and I would imagine those that don't have Kane and have Son will be very tempted to put the armband that way. So looking at these fixtures here, we've got Newcastle against Wolves, Everton, Manchester United on the Saturday, Arsenal, Brighton, Southampton, Chelsea, Watford against Leeds. Rafinha could be an outside bet for 9 points as usual, if he's doing well. Villa against Spurs to round off Saturday. And then on Sunday, we've got Brentford against West Ham, Leicester against Palace, Norwich against Burnley. And then that it all rounds off with that City-Liverpool game. That's either going to be 10 goals or none. But so it could be good for the captaincy. So what's your kind of main takeaway from game week 32 and the captaincy?
Well, I like the fixture. I like the Villa Spurs fixture. That's the one you're immediately drawn to, isn't it? I mean, Spurs are improving. They've won 4 of the last 5. They're scoring a lot of goals, aren't they? They've scored at least 2 in their last 5 matches. And it feels like everything's coming together for them. They're in fourth place now, albeit Arsenal have got a game in hand. But then for Villa, it's going in the opposite direction. We've lost 3 in a row now. Against good teams, you know, Wolves, Arsenal, West Ham, but very inconsistent. Prior to that, we had won 3 in a row against Leeds, Southampton and Brighton. And that has really been, it's been like that under Gerrard really since he came in. Patches of good form and then poor results like we had against Watford and Newcastle and things like that. So this feels like... it feels like a good fixture to target for the captaincy, given that our Salahs and our De Bruynes are maybe not quite so appealing this week.
Indeed. I've raided the Fantasy Football Scout comparison tool in the members area to put the other graphic that's on screen here. And just for those listening on the podcast, this is basically a list of all the fixtures in fixture difficulty. So we've got dark blue at the top, and then right down to Liverpool and Man City in red at the bottom. So the best fixture is in fact Leeds against Watford, according to this fixture difficulty. And then you've got the Burnley Norwich game. So Burnley are in second, then Norwich just behind them. So they're anticipating some goals there. I understand that Sean Dyche has been telling his team to score, which would be nice. So who knows? Maybe this will be the match. Then we've got West Ham against Brentford. Bowen is back. Could be a contender, yeah. But Brentford, looking good. Beat Chelsea. Leicester against Crystal Palace. And then Manchester United against Everton. Arsenal against Brighton. There's a lot of good fixtures here. And it could be a time to be a bit different with the armband if you don't fancy going for a Spurs asset. And then right down the bottom, we got, you know, Southampton against Chelsea, City against Liverpool, being the hardest ones to judge. So, yeah, looking at this fixture difficulty, Rafinha could be a good bet. Bowen, Madison. I mean, it's a good week to be different, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I always look for these kind of opportunities in FPL where you can go against a more popular choice. It just feels like Kane and Son as well are in such good form, and Spurs are, that I'm finding it hard to look away past that at the moment. Let's delve into a few of those options in a bit. But should we have a bit of chat about Son and Kane first, maybe?
Okay.
And
good stuff. One of the debates that's been going on is Spurs are really good at theories. I remember Dembele theory with Kane.
Yeah.
Can't score if he's not on the pitch, and so on. The current narrative is that Son is fantastic at home, but not so great away. Kane is great away, and he's also good at home. So Kane's your option if they're for the armband if they're playing away. Son at home, if you own him, well, you're going to get some returns, and that has proved the case in recent weeks. So I've raided the Fantasy Football Scout members area once again for a look at their comparison tool as well. So I've looked at fixture difficulty and now looking at the comparison tool, and I've compared Son home and away, and this is for the all home matches and all away matches. So I know he might not have played the same amount, so I've filtered it by an average performance of all the home games and all the away games. So this is showing that he's 66% compared to 34%. So 66% better, I suppose you would phrase it as, at home, and 34% of his points are coming from away matches. His key indicators, he's got many more key indicators. These are things like shots on target, those types of things. And if you look at his heat map as well, he's much more busy around the box. So he's not just taking corners. He's the sort of red heat map of Son is getting towards the penalty box, being a bit more creative, probably shooting a bit more, and that's all at home. And away, less so. So, yeah, that's the Son narrative. There's the picture that shows it. So, yeah, is Son really the home man and perhaps not to captain away? What do you reckon?
Well, they're both elite options, aren't they, in FPL? And them doing well often goes hand in hand together. You know, we've seen it so many times when they rack up hauls in the same game, because Kane is often assisting Son and it can happen vice versa. I'm sceptical about kind of forcing too many ideas and narratives too soon. You know, it was only a couple of weeks ago that Kulusevski came in and everybody said, this is good for Kane, Son is too expensive now. And then two big performances later and everybody wants Son again at the moment. I mean, Kane has been better away than Son under Conte, but Son has scored away goals this year. You know, he scored at Newcastle, I think he scored at Leeds, he scored at Arsenal as well. So I'm not particularly worried about it. I mean, if you own the both of them, I think you're probably going to go for Kane. But if you just own Son, which is the case for a lot of managers out there because of the budget, I'd happily captain Son this week. I think if I have to pick, this game maybe might suit Kane
okay.
a
What's
little
up?
Bit more. Well, Son's going to be, you look at that heat map there, Son will be attacking the side where Matty Cash is playing for Villa. And now Matty Cash has been one of the best players of late for Villa. He's had a very, very good season. He's going to the World Cup with Poland. He feels like he's in a good moment at the moment. Whereas Kane is going to be up against Mings, who is slightly error prone, I think it's fair to say. He's got the penalties as well. So I'm kind of looking at this thing. If I own the two, I am kind of swaying towards Kane a little bit, but that doesn't mean say Son is a bad option this week. And I'm not going to read too. Yes, he's performing better at home, but that doesn't mean he has to be really bad away either.
Okay. Well, let's have a look at Kane's home and away. So see what the difference is. And you can see what a beast he is, home and away. This fills me with joy as a Kane owner. Finally, I might get a good captaincy return after blanking with Salah this week. But yeah, in terms of home matches, 57% of his points coming from home matches, but 43% away. So obviously still better at home. Most players are. Most teams are better at home.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it's showing that away, you know, he is competing. And looking at the heat map here, for the benefit of those watching in black and white or listening to the podcast version, there's a mass of red. Kane is busy all over his attacking half. Penalty box, around the penalty box, everywhere. He's all over the place. And that is also the case away. And in terms of key indicators, things like shots in the box, all that kind of stuff, +8. So in eight of those metrics, those types of metrics, he is performing better away. So this fills me with joy as a Kane owner. So should Kane owners just not overcomplicate things and just captain Kane?
Look, I mean, there is an opportunity this week to look elsewhere because we haven't got somebody like Salah who's so often favoured. So you could look elsewhere. I mean, Villa have turned it on at home under Gerrard at times, but I do think he is probably the leading sensible candidate this week. And just going back to those heat maps, I mean, we saw his role change at the weekend, didn't we, Kane? They had not a great first half against Newcastle, and then he kind of went deeper into this more playmaking role, which you can see on the heat map, those kind of areas which he's dropping into. So that would affect those kind of key performance indicators in terms of his shots and things like that, because he turned a bit more of a creator. I think he did have 5 shots at the weekend, but none of them were on target. But you've got to put Kane and Son right up there with the captaincy this week. I think they're definitely the best couple of options.
I've never been more convinced looking at my team and the players I have that I will be captaining Kane this week. Only injury would put it that way. As a vice captain, I may go for Salah in the absence of enemy City players. But there's also others as well. There's other options as well. So let's have a look at the expected goal involvement stats. These are the latest ones from last night's match taken into account as well. Over the last 4 matches. And that shows that Tony... at Brentford. This shows Brentford's resurgence, also his penalties as well. So this is all included there. He's actually top. He's at top out of all players. Expected goal involvement of well over 4. Next is Havertz at Chelsea, which given Chelsea's doubles coming up. But the fact that Chelsea have a good fixture this week as well, so it suggests this could be a Havertz week. It could be a really smart differential. Then there's Kane, just behind, just under 4. Goals expected to have been involved in. So it underlines his potential there. And Son's a bit further behind, but still not too shabby. Just that expected goal involvement just under 3. And then you've got just behind Kane, you've got Sterling, Ronaldo, then Salah. So Salah's dropped down. Salah's usually top of this. He's usually second or top, but he's dropped down a bit, but he's still in the reckoning. There's not much. These are all expected to be involved in 3 to 4 goals, really. And then you've got Fernandes, Zaha, Crystal Palace could be an intriguing captaincy option. Then there's Son, and then Rafinha, who I mentioned before, playing for Watford. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. Looking at this, there are other options. You mentioned about being a bit different. This could be the week to do it. What players out of this list would you put the armband on if you owned them and felt a bit maverick?
Well, Just going, you mentioned Havertz there. The only thing which is off-putting for Chelsea, for West Ham, for Leicester this week is the fact that this game week is sandwiched in between their Europa League ties. So obviously Chelsea have got this massive doubleheader against Real Madrid. So it's very hard to predict. This feels like a match which Lukaku could get at the weekend, possibly. Havertz feels like first choice, and if he's first choice, he's probably going to play the Real Madrid games. And the same can be said for players like Bowen. West Ham have obviously got Leon, isn't it? Leicester have got PSV in the Conference League. So I'm not going to personally go with the captaincy towards any of those three clubs, just because I'm a bit unsure about how the manager's going to approach it. Obviously, City and Liverpool don't have that. They're going to have to go all guns blazing regardless, aren't they? So because they face each other, of course. So out of that list, probably Rafinha, I would have thought. Obviously, with Bamford being out now, you would hope that it'll be on penalties. It's not guaranteed because Jesse Marsh has come in, but he might have that. And it's about the fixture, isn't it? But I mean, I can understand why people will be a bit hesitant with that, because he's frustrated quite a few FPL managers of late, hasn't he, Rafinha, with some big performances, but lack of FPL returns.
Definitely. He strikes me as a kind of player that's it's difficult with this current climate in terms of double game weeks and blanks, because he's not playing in 33, so myself and many other people who own him will probably get rid of him then. But Rafinha, his returns, he's very much, as I think, a long-term hold in the sort of Mason Mount. He's going to get the odd assist, he's going to perform great, perhaps be the best player on the pitch, but maybe only nick a goal. And he's a kind of, over time you're going to get a quite a nice average from him, but he's not the kind of player you can dip in and out of.
And is he going to be? Is he a truly captainable asset? I mean, I did actually captain him recently in the double game week, but that's a slightly different situation when you've got two games. It's hard. All of the there's those big relegation kind of clashes this weekend, isn't there? With Leeds against Watford and Norwich against Burnley as well, and it's hard to read what kind of games they're going to be. Are they going to be cagey affairs? An early goal in one of them could open it up, for instance. But yeah, I've mentioned Rafinha, and obviously with Salah, you know what you're getting, don't you? But this feels like a tough match to call. There has been recently quite a few goals in these kind of matches, but I'm looking at it as an opportunity this week to look elsewhere, rather than going with Salah. He's going through a bit of a slump, isn't he? Post AFCON, but his numbers are still really good. Admittedly, not as high on that table as he has been recently, but he's still putting up good numbers. So,
Definitely.
again, captaining Salah is never really a bad thing, is it? So.
No. Just before I round off by looking at some of the worst defences, just a rather late hello to those who've joined us in the live chat. So obviously I've got a new computer, new screen, I've got things all over my screen now, and so I have found the chat part. So welcome to Joshua, Bernardo, Nick, That Guy, Kathan, Tex, Nuclear Atoms, Big A, Rommel, and all the others, and I can't scroll up anymore there, I've run out of space. But welcome to you all. So looking at the comments so far, Bernardo has picked up on Rafinha being out for 33, and the move to Barnes or Madison looks good there.
Yeah, I think that'll be popular.
Rafinha to Madison so far is my option, but if Barnes is looking super duper by then maybe him. But I agree with that. Joshua Tan, just Captain Salah, guys. Lol. So well, no, I did that last time, but it wasn't a lol. It was a lull, not a lol. Or Camador has just popped in the chat and just says ELO. I don't know whether that's the Electric Light Orchestra or it was a spelling mistake. So Mr. Jobs, Salah 3 goals. I'm not sure what that's referring to. Reece James in this week and giving him the armband, says it's Rizzo. Okay, that now
just the time, and that's
18
off-putting.
point return. Was it 18 point return in the last time he was heavily backed for the captaincy? So
Yeah. It's just
not
I
bad.
like the, I lo I like I love James as a player. If he starts against Real Madrid, though, in the Champions League, I think it could be risky at the weekend. Definitely. But that's not to say it can't work. It's hard to get into the head of these some of these managers. He might want to play him to start building up his fitness. It's difficult to say, but it just feels a little bit risky. But let's see what happens in Europe first.
So. Okay, and let's just round off with having a look at some of these worst defences. Norwich still up there, still the worst defence, and then Burnley. So Norwich play Burnley, two teams that can't score or defend. Brilliant.
It will still be 0-0, won't it?
But. Somehow, but somehow Brighton. I think it was 31 shots. I think Az reminded me today because I was talking about Brighton fans saying shoot, and that's not the problem now. They are shooting. They're just not shooting very well. I think the bulk of those 30 or so shots were off target. So lucky Norwich there. That could have been an absolute field. There could be 30-0. There could have been Brighton against Western Samoa. Then Leicester's defence looking a bit shabby. They've only conceded 4 goals last 4, but they are expected to have conceded well over 8. And then West Ham as well could have been counting themselves a bit lucky there. Goals conceded 6 and expected goals conceded getting towards 8. Then Brighton, the defence still looking a bit shabby, even though mighty Norwich couldn't breach them.
Would you consider an Arsenal player for captaincy, Joe? Or
I am tempted to vice-captain Saka.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good time to play Brighton, but it's also perhaps, as Crystal Palace showed, a good time to play Arsenal. And seeing as Brighton can't hit a barn door at the moment, maybe they will this time around. Because Arsenal with that, now what, I don't know what your theory is with this, another theory here, Arsenal without Tierney are rubbish. No Tierney last night.
Wow.
No coincidence, they were awful.
I mean, they struggled down that side, didn't they, in the first half. Tavares was hauled off again at half time. They put Xhaka to left back.
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and Gabriel was struggling next to Tavares specifically. There was gaps appearing in that first half, and it does feel like a few days ago Saka was genuinely being talked about a bit more for the captaincy this week, but obviously people who were considering that are maybe thinking twice. I mean, Arsenal have been really good recently, haven't they? Which is why it's such a surprising. We shouldn't write them off just because of one bad result, but it is a bit worrying. I think out of the Arsenal options, Saka's the one as well, isn't it? Lacazette.
Yeah.
I don't think he's scored a goal from open play since game week 16. I was looking last night, and I think he's scored 2 penalties since then, but from open play. And he struggled to get into the game last night, and Martinelli was benched as well. He came on at half time, and you'd expect him to start the weekend. But Brighton not doing great, but they don't concede too many away from home, even going through that run. So it's hard to put people like Saka and Lacazette alongside Kane and Son, isn't it, this week?
Definitely. And I think also with Lacazette, he's very indicative of what's happened to strikers in recent years, but definitely this season much more, that the striker is taking that Firmino role, that sort of holding the ball up, being creating the play, not necessarily creating the chance that leads to a goal, but you know, assisting the assister, or and just being really integral to their side. But for us fantasy managers, absolute awful.
That sums up the lack of forward options this year. The fact that Lacazette has been chipping along with assists and things like that and doing fine. But it kind of sums up the category as a whole at the moment, isn't it? There's a lack of options. I've just been working on a bench boost piece for the site for game week 33, and trying to get strikers in who double in 33 and are appealing is really, really tricky. If you haven't got a bench boost, you're probably considering shifting to just one striker, aren't you?
I've got a bench boost left and I'm using it in 33. Because weirdly, I have 2 Southampton strikers. So
Brozier's probably the best option that does double low and add them.
But I agree, it's an absolute minefield, and I cannot wait to just feel one striker from 34 onwards.
Just go with Kane and then 2 GPs.
Just see what you can get. But it's not the season of the striker. We have to wait for some new strikers to be recruited by the clubs next season.
We need Haaland to come in, If he's at City and Kane's at Spurs, then that suddenly gets interesting, doesn't it?
Very, very interesting indeed. Excellent. Thanks so much for joining me, Tom. Thanks so much for all of those that joined us in the live chat. Over 300 of you now. Thanks to the technology for holding up. It all seems to work. It's slightly chaotic on my screen. Thank God no one can see that at the moment except for me. Just to finish off, Bernardo says, Joe, are you going to sell Adams this week? No, because he's got a double game week coming up and I've got more pressing concerns as most managers have. So Che Adams can wait. And on that bombshell, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck with your decision to captain Harry Kane. Good luck with my decision to captain Harry Kane. And good luck to all Harry Kane owners and maybe Son owners as well. But thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Yeah, cheers, James.